Ford Dealers of America presents the Fred Allen Show. The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guests, Mr. and Mrs. James Mason, Paul from Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And this is Kenny Delmar speaking for your friendly Ford dealer. Spring is officially here. In the southern half of the country, many Ford owners have already taken their Fords back home to their Ford dealers for spring tune-up. But if you live farther north, you may have postponed that important spring tune-up so far. Your Ford dealer wants to remind you that it's time right now to bring your Ford in so he can take winter out of its system and get it ready for smooth, warm weather driving from now on.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Easter Sunday. Tonight, we bring you a man who wasn't in the Easter parade today because the parade has passed him by. He's Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening. Thank you. Oh, they're exuberant. Thank you. I wish you'd tell your relatives to stop on cue. I mean, if they have to applaud, we'll give them a cue after this. Thank you, and good... Thank you. So I don't mind them starting the applause, but when they drag at the finish, you know, they're overdoing it. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In Portland, I heard you mention the Easter parade. It so happens I was in the parade today, and if you saw me, you have to admit that I looked pretty sharp.
Oh, Mama said you were as sharp as a Eubanks pout.
A Eubanks pout. Well, I'd like to auction that joke off. Could I get one laugh, please, Eubanks pout? Could I get one laugh? Could I get one? Going. I've got one. Could I get two? Well, how about the silk hat, that Paul Bearer sombrero I was wearing? What about that?
Mama said your head looked as though it was hanging out of a ship's funnel.
Well, so...
Can I get one? Can I get two?
I see. This is going to be a battle of wits tonight. It's too bad you didn't come prepared. Don't tell me you're... What are you laughing at? It's on you. Don't tell me your mother was in the parade.
Yes, Mama wore her new Easter hat.
Oh, one of those current millinery monstrosities?
Well, it's a pond lily astride a piece of Brillo.
I saw a woman with a hat today. It looked like a small pot roast relaxing on a wet dish rag. The woman with her had on a dirty pimento or something. It looked as though somebody had left an antipasto in her hair.
Well, the parade was wonderful.
Oh, I know. I know that.
Did you see the 40 mink marching?
Oh, the 40 live mink?
When they got to 59th Street, the mink all stopped and spelled out Bloomingdale.
Really? That's more than Bloomingdale can do. How did they dot the I in Blooming?
Well, one little mink jumped up on another mink's head and made like a ball.
Oh, really? Tell me, did you see Adolph Monju in the Easter parade?
No.
Oh, Adolph was applauding himself. He had on fawn gray knickers, plastic platform shoes, and just ahead of him, Mr. Monju had a peacock prancing on a neon leash. And his muffler was a tassel. Well, enough about Easter, Portland. What's in the news this week?
Two boys in New York won Pepsi-Cola scholarship.
Oh, really? Pop is sending them through college, eh?
Pop?
Yeah, Pepsi-Cola is a pop. Pop is sending them through college.
That sounds like one of those jokes you always give me.
Yes, it does. And I should have given it to you tonight, too. You know, a line like that I wouldn't throw to a person who was drowning. Well, Wilmy, what else is new?
Schools of sardines are swarming off the coast of California.
Well, that's good news for the actors out in Hollywood.
The sardines?
Any actor who has two pieces of rye bread and can swim is sure of a sandwich.
What is a sardine?
A sardine is a herring in shorthand. And while you're making sure that the sardine in that gag isn't a smelt, I think I shall start for Allen's Alley.
Why What is your question tonight?
A prominent economist, after a survey conducted among 24 typical homes, says that American women work too hard. And so our question is, do you think the average American woman works too hard?
Shall we go?
As the sideburn said to the razor blade, brother, I'm off. Here we are back in Allen Valley, Portland. Say, I guess Senator Claghorn has been celebrating Easter, too. He has some colored possum eggs in the window there. Oh, well, I'll knock.
Somebody, I say somebody put the whammy to my panel.
Yes.
Oh, it's you, Dodo Puss.
Yes.
Well, what's on your mind, son? Let's get going. I'm busier than the little boy's tongue when his Eskimo pie starts melting.
Now.
Yeah, I've been working on that new tax reduction bill.
Well, will it help the taxpayer?
From now on, son, the government is going to give the taxpayer a hand instead of putting it in his pocket.
Well, Senator, how can the administration afford to cut down on taxes?
When the administration paid its income tax this year, they got a big exemption.
The administration?
They claimed Europe as a dependent. Whole world mixed up, son.
Yeah.
Hangovers are costing this country $1 billion every year.
Hangovers?
People are drinking to forget.
To forget what?
What they're drinking.
Oh.
I say everybody's switching. Bartenders are going crazy.
You,
Just when a bartender thinks he knows what a customer's drinking, the customer switches.
Why,
shit. It shows what some people will do to get their pictures in the paper.
Well, with an asterisk, too. Well, tell me, Senator, do you think the American woman works too hard?
That's a leading question, son. This is election year.
Well, I know.
I'm like kissing Jim. My career's at stake.
Do you think women work too hard?
I do. My wife is sweeping the house from morning to night.
She's
sweeping here, she's sweeping there, always with the broom in her hand.
Broom? Why doesn't she use a vacuum cleaner?
My wife's a Democrat. She won't even touch our vacuum cleaner.
Why not?
That vacuum cleaner is a Hoover. Come on, son. Come on, Eddie.
Senator has his wife on the carpet. Let's see how Mr. Moody's doing.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, Mr. Moody, I see you have your raincoat on.
I can't get it off. I'm trapped in it.
You're trapped in your raincoat? What's wrong?
Well, it's a long story.
Yes?
And the way I tell it, it's mighty dull.
I can imagine.
But if you got the patience to hear me through, I'll start boring you.
If you will. How come you're trapped in your raincoat?
Well, sir, last Tuesday I was down in the lower 40 planting.
I see.
Some of the seed must have dropped down into my shoe.
Into your shoe?
Coming home, I stepped into a puddle.
You wet the seed? What happened?
Next day, I felt something creeping up my leg.
Yeah?
Then I felt something creeping around my back.
Something was growing on you?
First thing I knowed, my underwear was a vine.
Gosh.
And it's still growing up my sleeves and down under my stomach.
Well, isn't it mighty uncomfortable with that vine closing in on you?
It's mighty difficult sitting down.
When you sit down?
I have to balance myself on a squash.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, do you think American women work too hard?
Oh, shucks, you better ask somebody else. I don't know no women.
Well, you know your wife, Mrs. Moody, don't you?
Why, I wouldn't say I know Miss Moody, but we're acquainted.
Well, does Mrs. Moody work too hard?
Not since she's married.
I see.
But before Miss Moody was married, she must have worked like a horse.
What makes you think she worked like a horse?
Because the day I proposed, I says, how about getting hitched?
And when you said hitched?
Miss Moody backed up and stood by the wagon. So long, Bill.
Well, I guess looks as though Titus married an old nag. Well, let's try this next out.
Hi there, Jeffy.
Mrs. Nussbaum, say you're laughing. What's so funny?
I'm reading the cartoons with the comical pictures.
Oh, you like the comics?
Especially Little Adler.
Little Adler? You mean Little Abner.
Abner in your paper, in mine paper, it is Adler.
Oh, I know.
The Hillbillies, this little lad that I'm enjoying.
The Hillbillies, huh?
Yes. They're talking with a dialect. Very amusing.
Yes, but the...
Especially when Pappy Yoakum is saying to Daisy May, I'll put the frosting on your cake. To me, this is a yuck.
You like to laugh, eh?
Well, years ago, an old philosophical is saying,
yeah.
Laughing and the world is laughing with you.
Uh-huh.
Weeping and Bette Davis is in the picture.
Well, tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, do you think American women work too hard?
American women are living, you should excuse the expression, the life of Riley.
How do you mean?
What does is not doing, servants is doing.
Well, that's true.
Cooks is cooking.
Yes.
Chefs is chefing.
Yes.
Chambermaids is chambering.
Yes.
Footmen is footing. Butlers is butling.
Well, what about you? Do you have servants?
When I'm first married, a blushing bride, Pierre is hiding from me 50 servants.
Uh-huh.
One day, all of the servants suddenly I'm firing.
You discharge 50 servants? Why?
Housemaid's knee.
Housemaid's knee?
Pierre was sitting on it.
Oh, I see. Well, that is... Well, here we are. Here we are at the end of the alley. Let's see if Ajax Cassidy is home. Well, Mr. Cassidy. Mr. Cassidy, how are you tonight?
Oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. My legs is wobbly.
Really?
One day I feel like running and the next day I don't.
One day you feel like running, the next day you don't. What disease is that?
MacArthuritis. It's a general condition.
A general condition.
I can tell you, I'm in the last throes of the Black Fury.
What seems to be your trouble, Ajax?
Well, me boy, a couple of weeks ago, Bully Boy Burke and myself went to a matinee.
Oh, really? What play did you see?
A Streetcar Named O'Dwyer.
With the 5 cent fare still, I suppose.
That's the one. After the play, Bully Boy says to me, "Is he? Ajax, is he? Tonight, me nephew, Belshazzar Drumgool."
Yes. Yeah.
Belshazzar is graduating from Grady's Embalming School.
Grady's Embalming School?
He says Belshazzar is graduating with high honors. Magna cum shroud.
Hey, it must have been some occasion.
Oh, that was a night, I can tell you. After the graduation, Bully Boy and me went to O'Brien's Pool Academy. Then the fireworks began.
What happened?
Well, Bully Boy started calling Filbert Fogarty an Irish traitor.
Playing pool made him an Irish traitor?
Filbert was putting English on the ball.
God.
In no time at all, it was raining 8 balls.
Jeepers.
When order was restored, I had so many lumps on me head, I had to rack up me scalp before I could put me hat on.
Well, Mr. Cassidy, do you think the American woman works too hard?
Not in my house.
In your house?
I get up. I cook the breakfast. I do the dishes. I clean the house. I make the bed.
Well, while you were doing all of the housework, what is your wife doing?
She's standing over me with a rolling pin. Goodbye, hero.
To bring us to the five DeMarco sisters. Assisted no end by maestro Al Goodman and his orchestra, the DeMarco sing Easter Parade. Girl.
In my Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, I'll be the grandest lady in the Easter Parade. I'll be all in clover, and when they look you over, I'll be the proudest lady in the Easter Parade. On the Avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the road to grab your old white side of sonnet about my Easter bonnet. And I'm the boy who takes me to the Easter Parade. Avenue. Oh, we're in the road. Barnett Mule. Had the brightest Sunday of my life to my name. Help the boy who's taken me to see. He is never a.
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Fred.
Yes, Kenny.
There's a man here to see you. He says he's a truck driver.
Say, he may want to buy a Ford truck, Kenny. You know, this could be a sale. Show him in.
Okay. Right this way, sir.
Thank you.
Just a little closer to the microphone, sir. Now, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm a truck driver.
You drive a truck?
Yes, but my hobby's writing poetry.
Oh.
I'm the poet laureate of the garage.
Don't tell me you write poems about love.
Yes, they're about how all the drivers love the new line of Ford trucks.
Oh.
Now, get this couplet. Roses may fade and violets wilt, but not Ford trucks. They're all bonus built.
Well, look, I'll...
Now, here's another one. Now, for the $1 million cab, I'm starting a boom. It's got more comfort than my living room.
Well, look,
I... Maybe you'd rather hear a quatrain.
Well...
Listen. With 139 models to choose, the Ford line is hot. It's the biggest truck news. With 145 horsepower rating... A Ford big job can do a lot of freighting.
Well, look.
I'm not finished.
Oh, I thought you were.
The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and fellas who haul any load are all feeling fine about the Ford line. They're the hottest new trucks on the road.
Well, look.
Well, so long, Mr. Allen. I got to get back to the garage.
Oh, you're taking your truck out?
No, I'm writing another poem.
Oh, I see. You have just heard a relative or two of I'm My Own Grandpa. Played by one relative, really. Played by Maestro Al Goodman and 25 men you would better look at here because you will never see them with Toscanini in television. Say, Portland.
Yes?
Do you know, by chance, you know any funny stories offhand?
Well, I know one about the moron who put his finger in one ear and beckoned to a man out of his other ear.
Fine, that's good. That'll help.
And the one about the rich kids on Park Avenue.
Rich kids?
When they have chicken pox.
Yeah?
They have chicken pox a la king.
Well, that's good. I tell you what, you can tell a few of your zinger gags to finish the rest of the program. Not those two. I wouldn't tell those two over, but some other ones. I have to go over and see the Masons.
Mr. and Mrs. James Mason?
Yes, I have a great idea. I'm putting the Masons on the air in their own program.
Will they be Jack Iden's summer replacement?
No, they can't hope to start at the top at first, Portland. I'll tell you what happens later. I'm off to see the Masons.
Hello, yes, this is James Mason. Oh, Mrs. Mason, I'm sorry, it's for you, pal.
Thank you. Hello, this is Mrs. Mason. What, brunch next Sunday? Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Elsa. We're just packing. We're leaving for Hollywood tomorrow. Right you are. Goodbye.
Pam, darling, have you finished the trunk?
Yes, dear, it's all packed.
Good. I'll pack my rifle.
Stop taking rifles.
Of course, darling. We're going to California. That's the Wild West.
Oh, it sounds frightening.
It's full of ferocious animals and cattle rustlers and train robbers.
James, how do you know so much about the West?
Well, you remember last week when you were autographing your book, Del Palma, at Macy's?
Yes.
I went out and saw a Roy Rogers picture.
About the West?
Yes, it was terrifying. There was a cattle stampede. Bandits set fire to an entire town. There was a murderous gun battle.
Oh, James, do you think we should go to California?
Don't worry, darling.
But what makes you think we'll get through safely?
I wired Roy Rogers. He's meeting our train at Kansas City.
Thank heaven.
Now, let me see. I wonder if everything's packed. Let's check. 9 cats.
14 cats.
14? You mean...
This morning, surely.
Ah. Very well, 14 cats.
Check.
200 copies of your book, Del Palma.
Check.
Clothes, boots, lorgnettes, bust of Lloyd George.
Check.
Tourist guide to Hollywood.
Hollywood. Oh, that reminds me. This letter came for you this morning. It's from Ronnie and Benita Coleman.
From Ronnie, eh? Let's have a look at it.
What does it say?
Dear Pamela and James, Benita and I are delighted that you're coming to Hollywood. We've made all arrangements for your stay.
Oh, good.
You will love California. It is Liverpool with sunshine. Confidentially, as one Englishman to another, the king should have kept this colony and given Canada to the Americans.
It sounds divine.
California has a wonderful climate. It never rains, but occasionally the fog comes down in shreds. As I'm writing this, it's shredding cats and dogs. I say, shredding cats and dogs, that's rather good.
Yes, Ronnie has a rousing sense of humor.
I hear they're starting to call Ronnie the British Red Skelton.
That is an honor.
What do you know? Benita is planning a big party for us.
A party?
Yeah, it says, Benita has invited Theodore Smith, Sir Cedric Hardwick, and Arthur Treacher for a big mutton barbecue and a few wickets of cricket later.
California sounds really exciting.
Now, wait, Sam. Ronnie says, I must warn you.
Warn us? About what?
A man named Jack Benny.
Who is Jack Benny?
Ronnie says, this Jack Benny is the stingiest man in the world. If you locked him in a room with a skunk, Benny would come out with the scent.
He sounds obnoxious.
It says, yesterday our front yard was filled with tourists. Benny was charging them 25 cents to peek through the parlor window and see my new Oscar.
That Jack Benny must be a rocker.
It says, Benita joins me in sending her love. Signed, Ronnie. P.S. Watch your cat. Benny makes his own violin string.
We better finish packing, dear. Will you hand me that?
Someone is at the door, Pam. I'll get it. Oh, it's Fred Allen. Hello, come in, Fred.
Thank you, James. Hello, Pam. Say, what's all this luggage?
We're leaving for Hollywood tomorrow.
Hollywood?
Yes, Fred. You've been to California. What's it like?
James, California is a wonderful place if you're an orange. You take the sun away from California, and what have you got?
It's nice.
Exactly.
Well, what's wrong with California?
Well, nothing. California is the Florida of tomorrow.
Hey, what about Hollywood?
Well, what happens in Hollywood, James? An actor works hard in New York. He becomes a success in the theater. A movie scout signs him up and takes him out to Hollywood on a super cheap. He makes four bad pictures in rapid succession and leaves Hollywood on a Greyhound bus, a forgotten man.
You know such a man?
I am such a man.
But Ronald Coleman wrote us that Hollywood is wonderful.
Yes, Ronnie only warned us about one thing, a chap named Jack Benny.
Oh, Jack Benny.
Have you met him?
Yes, unfortunately. One day on Vine Street, Benny overpowered me and introduced himself. That's the only way he can meet people. He has to overpower them.
What do you think of him?
Well, all I can tell you about Benny, James, is that when he empties his goldfish bowl, he doesn't throw the water away. He heats the water, puts croutons in it, and serves it as fish chowder. What he doesn't eat while it's still hot, he shaves with.
Ronnie says this chap Benny is tight.
Tight? Benny is tighter than a goiter in a turtleneck sweater. But enough about Mr. F.E. Boone's straight man. James, I'll tell you why I'm here. I have a great idea for you and Mrs. Mason.
Really?
I'm going to star you both on your own radio program.
But we're leaving for Hollywood tomorrow.
Well, this is for the future, Pam, when you get back to England.
It's an English radio program?
Yes. Now, you've heard our morning husband and wife program.
You mean like the Fitzgeralds and Tex and Dinks and Dorothy and Dick?
Right. Now, I've written a husband and wife program for you both to do in London.
An English husband and wife?
Yes.
What's it like?
Well, as the program opens, you hear...
Cheerio all, it's 6 a.m., time for England's favorite breakfast couple, Pamela and James. We take you to the quaint little Mason Manor, where they broadcast their quaint little program from their quaint little breakfast nook. And here they are, the quaint little Pamela and James.
Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning, James.
I say, Mrs. Mason, you're looking absolutely top-hole this morning.
Thank you.
I've never seen you with such an extraordinary glow.
Darling, who wouldn't have a glow after sleeping all night under one of Pringle's electric blankets?
Pringle's electric blankets give you a 30-day slumber guarantee.
Pringle's comes in three temperatures, warm, very warm, and calling Dr. Kildare.
Remember, Pringles is the only electric blanket with the built-in fuse box. Moderately priced at only 2 guineas.
Darling, will you sort the mail while I fetch breakfast?
Breakfast? Good. What are we having?
What's on every stove in England at this hour of the morning?
Lady Cavendish's kidneys.
Quite.
Right.
Lady Cavendish's kidneys are the only kidneys that come back to unpacked, ready to serve.
They're just chock full of vitamins.
James. I'm dying to tell our listeners what's coming next week.
You mean Lady Cavendish's liver?
Yes, I'm so excited.
So is Lady Cavendish. Orders are pouring in from all over the empire.
The correct time is now 6:05. James, have you fed the dog?
Yes, I gave him a bowl full of Victor's Vitalized Dog Biscuits.
Yes, Victor's Vitalized Dog Biscuits give the dogs that added zest in the morning.
Zest spelled Z-E-S-T.
And remember, Victor's Vitalized Dog Biscuits are not touched by human hands.
They're made by other dogs.
Tea, darling?
Please.
I say, wasn't the carriage packed with celebrities last night?
Actually crammed.
Wasn't Noel a scream when he gave Winston that loaded cigar?
I practically choked on my blow, Tom.
I don't know where Noel gets his sense of humor.
I know where he gets his loaded cigars.
Where, darling?
Finchley's Fun Shop.
Finchley's carries a complete line of amusing trips for all occasions.
False noses, squirting gardenias, be the life of the party. Stop in at Finchley's Fun Shop, number 7, Burlington Arcade.
James, darling, it's 6:10. Don't you think it's time we introduce our guest?
By all means, ladies and gentlemen, our guest this morning is Britain's leading ornithologist, Colonel Bullfinch. Good morning, Colonel Bullfinch.
Who have read your new bird book, Two in the Bush, have positively swamped us with questions. I wonder if you'd answer a few. You will?
No.
Oh, good. Well, our first letter is signed Bird Lover, Upper Washington. Bird Lover has two questions. First, Colonel, what is the habitat of the yellow-bellied sapsucker? Well, I must say that answers Bird Lover's first question. And Dr. Rodney's foot balm answers the second.
Yes, Bird Lover, you'll find Dr. Rodney's foot balm a sure cure for athlete's foot. Dr. Rodney's comes in two convenient sizes.
The handy half-pint bottle for individual use.
And the 10-gallon vat for soccer team.
And now, Colonel, the next question is signed fellow traveler Ramsey. Yes. Fellow traveler asks why no Russian birds were mentioned in your book.
Colonel Bullfinch, that is a crystal clear analysis of the Russian problem.
Positively brilliant.
I especially enjoyed that comment on the iron curtain.
And ladies, when you iron curtains, be sure to use a Bromby mango.
A Bromby mango cuts wash day in half.
It cuts everything in half. Bromby mangle today.
Colonel Bullfinch, our next question is from Sir Hubert Hives of Devonshire. Sir Hubert is colorblind. He would like to know how you tell the difference between the red back pipit and the white rump pipit. I see. The white rump pipit seldom eats worms. It prefers kippers.
And like millions of other discriminating British diners, the white rump pipit prefers Lord Bottomley's kippers.
Lord Bottomley's kippers have zippers. They're the only zipper that you can look into.
Lord Bottomley cleans them personally. His half of a mess.
Whether you're a white rump pipit or a glutton, you'll enjoy Lord Bottomley's kippers.
And now, Colonel, I wonder if you'd tell us how you came to study birds. I understood you were first interested in bees.
I'm sorry, Pam. Time's up.
Oh, just as the Colonel was getting so interested.
Till tomorrow morning at 6, this is James and Pamela saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Colonel.
Our guest will be Shirley Booth and the Harmonies. Before then, why don't you teach your Ford to a spring tune-up? Your Ford dealer's the man to do it properly and reasonably. Thank you and good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Don't forget your Ford dealer. Thank you.
The Fred Allen Show came to you from New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.